Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Spark My Muse. I'm your host, Lisa Colon-Delay, and today is Soul School, Lesson 267. Coretta Scott King, Prayer and Civil Rights. Recently, the book Soul Care in the African American Practice by Dr. Barbara L. Peacock was recommended to me, and what is particularly interesting about how this book is set up is that it is set up in two parts. The first part is about spiritual direction and spiritual disciplines, and the second part is set up as prayer disciplines. But on top of that, each chapter features an African American person and a witness to their life. Here are the people featured in each chapter: Dr. Frederick Douglass, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Mrs. Rosa Parks, Dr. Daryl Griffin, Dr. Renita Weems, Dr. Harold Carter, Dr. Jessica Ingram, Mrs. Coretta Scott King, Dr. James Washington, and Dr. Howard Thurman. And then there's a conclusion. If you've been listening to the program for any length of time, you know that Dr. Howard Thurman is one of my personal favorites, a kind of mentor to me in my spiritual life, someone I try to emulate and learn from. I go back to his work again and again. What Dr. Barbara Peacock has given us in these vignettes of people, I'd like to share with you. From Chapter 8, Mrs. Coretta Scott King, Prayer and Civil Rights. Mrs. Coretta Scott King, wife of the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., deeply understood the power of prayer. In her own way, Mrs. King, like her mother-in-law, Alberta Williams King, is identified as a mother of prayer. To be a spiritual mother requires a level of maturity, commitment, and spiritual discernment. The prayers of Dr. King's mother and his wife, along with those of other intercessors and prayer warriors, undergirded him as he fulfilled his God-given assignment. When people of God are assigned a giant-sized task, it is imperative that they are connected with mature and equipped prayer-warring intercessors. The enormous task Dr. King and Coretta undertook was that of being civil rights leaders. They were committed to see people of color treated as equal to other persons in society. This was their commitment as well as their calling. To be willing to undergo public scrutiny and to put their relatives' lives in jeopardy required being convinced that they were fulfilling God's assignment. As a child growing up during the civil rights movement, I saw the Kings face numerous challenges. Nevertheless, they continued to pursue their calling. God has plans to prosper his people, Jeremiah 29:11, but not always in the ways we anticipate. To much dismay, some have to die for their dreams and visions to come to fruition. Such was the case of the King Dream. Dr. King's call to be the leader of the civil rights movement came with a tremendous spiritual, physical, emotional, and financial cost. Even though great strides were made during his lifetime, the struggle for equality continues. The dream remains alive because of the prayers of those who have gone before us and the prayers that continue to sustain us today. As a person of prayer and intercession, I draw tremendous strength from Mrs. King's heartfelt definition of prayer. Prayer is how we open our hearts to God, how we make that vital connection that empowers us to overcome overwhelming obstacles and become instruments of God's will. I am more convinced than ever before that prayer gives us strength and hope, a sense of divine companionship, as we struggle for justice and righteousness. Obviously, this transformative definition of prayer is embedded in the journey of one who knew something about the significance of prayerfully calling on the name of Jesus. From the outset, her heart was conditioned by the Spirit of God to endure the assignment of being instrumental in the civil rights movement. This working of the Spirit empowered other individuals in the movement, which was inundated with adversity. It is God who called them, and it was God who sustained them. As I ponder this, I ask myself, how many days and how many nights did Mrs. King cry out to our holy God to give her strength and endure the numerous incidents of persecution and injustice? How many sleepless nights did she endure? How many tears did she shed? Only God can answer these questions, because only God knows. Truly, her prayer was a comforting source of communication with her God. Prayer was her lifeline of safety and sanity during times of turbulence and uncertain circumstances, when it appeared that the odds were against the movement and that there was no light at the end of the tunnel. The language of struggle and suffering is not foreign to the African American community, and such language is often used when referring to the discipline of prayer. Struggle and suffering are often part of the prayer journey to justice. As Jesus suffered for the world, likewise, humans suffer on the road to freedom. Though they were familiar with injustice and adversity, the Kings expected to see the fulfillment of righteousness and justice. Even when all looked dark and dim, Mrs. King's prayer contained overt tones of hope in God, who would provide the strength necessary for the challenges she and her husband would encounter. I imagine they held on to the songs like, "Trouble Don't Last Always," "I Don't Feel No Ways Tired," and "Go Down Moses." They had to encourage themselves in the Lord. They had to know that one day there would be an end to troubles. In order to endure the tedious tests of life, they had to press forward in the face of whatever Pharaoh, the spirit of opposition, they faced. Along with her pioneering husband, Mrs. King knew that the discipline of prayer was vital for their survival, sanity, and liberation. Only a prayer answering God could sustain and transform a people of color who were, and remain, affected by racism and oppression. Inside the haven of prayer, the Kings found comfort. Dr. Carter, who also understood this sacred, prayerful place of refuge, when he wrote, "The fact that Black people have not turned en masse to suicide as a way of life is due in part to the inner release of prayer. Prayer has been a way of emptying one's life of frustration, anger, bitterness, and sorrow. Prayer has kept Black people sane. It has helped us maintain a desire to keep on keeping on, to see what the end will be. He promised to keep the believer in perfect peace when their mind is focused on Him. Communication with God, who is higher than all our circumstances and situations, keeps our mind focused on the only one who can change the situation. He is the God of peace. He is Jehovah Shalom." Mrs. King was mindful of God's response to the outcry and prayers of His people. She wrote, "It is said that every prayer is heard and every prayer is answered in some way. And I believe this is true for people of all faiths. I still believe that the millions of prayers spoken by African Americans from the Middle Passage down to today have been heard by a righteous and loving God. Regardless of the challenges of life, African Americans have believed in the power of prayer." As Mrs. King reflected on the historicity of prayer, she spoke poignantly, passionately, and redemptively. Throughout the epic freedom struggle of African Americans, our greater sustainer of hope has been the power of prayer. We prayed for deliverance in a dozen African languages, chained to the holds of slave ships, on the auction block, in the fields of oppression, and under the lash. We prayed when we, quote, "followed the drinking gourd on the Underground Railroad." We prayed when our families were torn asunder by the slave traders. We prayed when our homes and churches were burned and bombed, and when our people were lynched by racist mobs. So many times it seemed our prayer went unanswered, but we kept faith that one day our unearned suffering would prove redemptive. It was the prayers of our forerunners that gave endurance. Through many toils and snares we have come. It is grace that has brought us safe this far. It is grace that will continue to keep us in our right mind. Unfortunately, injustice and brutality have not ceased. Mrs. King's cry for freedom and justice still rings throughout the land. We must continue to pray and trust God for a better day. How long? Not long. Is that not what God would say? As long as inequities still exist, God's sovereignty prevails even more. Unrighteous behavior does not escape his sight from the heavenly throne. He sees every inequality of his people, and he will grant justice in his Kairos time. This is our eschatological hope. This is our prayer of faith. On June 17, 2015, men and women of God gathered in a time of worship, teaching, and fellowship at Emmanuel African American Episcopal Church in Charleston, South Carolina. In the midst of their sacred time with God, nine of them lost their lives to a shooter. Nine innocent people were brutally murdered, never to return until the end of time when Christ descends. Our heartfelt prayers continue to go out to the families of Clementa C. Pickney, Cynthia Marie Graham Hurd, Susie Jackson, Ethel Lee Lance, DePayne Middleton Doctor, Tawanza Sanders, Daniel L. Simmons, Sharonda Coleman Singleton, and Myra Thompson. These are the beloved Charleston Nine. In 2019, Viola Davis and Stephen Curry produced a documentary on Emmanuel African American Episcopal Church and the shooting. I was blessed to view it with my spiritual family. While watching the film at the Park Church, I often found myself numb and in disbelief, asking, how could this tragedy have happened? Many asked and continue to ask, where is God? However, as I reflect on the words of the late Mrs. King, I cling to the prayer that one day such suffering will be redemptive. How long? Not long. The plight of an African people is now some 400 years old on these shores, and we will still struggle for equality. I thank God that one day justice will be served, and that we will finally experience and behold his holy redemption. Even with such comforting and hopeful words from Mrs. King, much bitterness, hurt, pain, and anger remain among many within the struggle. As a result of this catastrophe in Charleston, churches and other faith communities around the nation came together to seek the face of God. They came believing in the power of God's word. Throughout the centuries, people of African descent have prayed and continue to pray without ceasing. During such times, prayers are not always spoken. They are often uttered in moaning and groaning. They believed and relied on sovereign God who could answer and deliver them from oppression and injustice. Whether they were on slave ships, in chains, or seeking safety at home or in a church, God remained faithful in the midst of inhumane conditions. It is not only spoken prayer that prevails. As one matures in prayer, the composition of his prayers may transform. During the maturation process, prayer may, quote, become less vocal and more mental. Henry Nouwen said that during prayer, we may find ourselves experiencing times of silence and solitude. He noted that silence, quote, keeps us pilgrims and prevents us from becoming entangled in the cares of this age, unquote. In a time when African American ministry leaders are inundated with responsibilities, they must find time to pull away and be with God. The call is to meditate on God and His Word through the discipline of prayer. In challenging times, in the past and in the present, people of African descent often cannot speak words because the pain is so painful. At one point, Mrs. King was silent. Mother Bethel was silent. Ebenezer was silent. These times leave one silent in prayer. Next in this chapter is a place called Reflection and Practice. And then there's questions for reflection. And following that, there is a part called Talking with God, where it has a prayer that you can pray, and then hearing from God, which is a comforting prayer we can receive from God to us. There is then a Visio Divina, and it says, as you reflect on the illustration of Jesus, which is at the beginning of this section, where do you sense God when your pain is deep? How does God hold it all together? When it looks like the world is falling apart, how do you hold it all together? And then it says prayer. Prayer is personal and intimate. Take this time to press in to deeper prayer with the one who is always with you. Stay there as long as you need to. This is your time with God. No one can tear that relationship apart. So this book is partially witness to 10 people's lives. They're powerful spiritual lives, prayer lives. But it's also a time to learn and reflect on our own lives. Dr. Peacock draws us in to a deeper spirituality. So I want to highly recommend this book, Soul Care in the African American Practice. When I first came across this book a few years back, I thought this was more of a book for spiritual directors who had African American directees. It is helpful for that, I think. But this is actually a book that is certainly more general than for just spiritual directors or just for people of African descent. I am a person of African descent, and I think that a lot more people out there are actually people of African descent if you go get your DNA checked. Regardless if you are or if you know you are, it's important that we know each other, that we deeply, deeply know each other. If we don't know each other, we don't know ourselves. And we should be well acquainted with the struggles of others. And they are our own struggles. I will be reading from another chapter in this book at a later date. I hope you will go and get this book. You will find it a great blessing. May you prayerfully consider how you are being impacted by people who are not like you. And also how you're being supported with people who are struggling like you are. Until next time, I wish you blessing and peace.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.